Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.
One heart.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.
One heart.
One mind.
One mind. One soul at a time.
Good morning, Spiritual Life Center. Happy Resurrection Day. I want to see everybody that came here to have a good time with the Lord, in the Spirit, to rise to your feet, because Christ the Lord is risen today. Come on, put your hands together.
Thank you. the Spiritual Life Center experience this Easter Sunday. And it's very different than our normal Sunday services and for Easter. But nonetheless, we are moving forward to demonstrate the resurrecting power that is within each and every one of us. And even though it may seem like we're still in the tomb, we can still have that resurrecting power and experience right here and right now. So I appreciate your presence. We know that the power of God within us is here, and we're here to amplify it, multiply it, and bring it down in and as our life, in every thought we have, every word we speak, and every action that we take. And with that, I invite you to join in as we commune with the presence. Divine presence, we know it's within you that we live and we move and we have our very being this in. And no matter what we may be going through, no matter what we may be growing through, there is something within us that is far more powerful than the circumstances that we face. And so we give our attention to this presence now. We make it the activity of everything that we think of. For this is the essence of who and what we really are. It can never be hurt. It can never be harmed or endangered in any way. It is steadfast. And we lean on this presence. We rest assured in this presence as we go forth expressing the divine of the Christ that is with each and every one of us. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen.
So incredibly blessed to be alive on this glorious day. Thank you, God, for this everlasting love. Thank you, God, for this community. And thank you, God, for our lives. Amen.
Like the dew in the morning, gently rest upon my heart. Like the dew in the morning, gently rest upon my heart. Come on and sing with me.
Like the dew in the morning,
gently rest,
gently rest upon my heart.
Oh, thank you, God.
Just to close your eyes for a minute, put your hand right on your heart. Feel God's love. And now open your eyes and look around. Look to the one sitting next to you. Look to the one sitting to the right and the left. And say these words. May the presence of Spirit gently rest upon your heart. Go ahead. May the presence of Spirit gently rest upon your heart. That's right. We're going to sing it like that. As we give thanks for God's love, we're going to send it out to those that are sitting next to us. Are you ready? Join me. May the presence.
May the presence of Spirit
gently rest.
Gently rest upon your heart.
Go ahead and It's okay. Look at somebody sitting next to you. May the presence of Spirit.
May the presence of Spirit gently rest.
We're gonna sing that again.
May the presence of Spirit
gently rest
upon your heart.
May
the presence of Spirit
gently rest
upon your heart.
Spiritual Life Center is a loving, vibrant family that welcomes home all people and accepts everyone, no exceptions. Weaving ancient spiritual traditions with emerging wisdom, we cultivate a spiritual deepening with the divine, each other, and our planet.
I am as God created.
I am as God created me. As we move into this time of inner quiet, take a deep breath and let it go. Take another deep breath and gently release it. Drop your shoulders, relax your eyelids. And as you allow yourself to breathe naturally now, allow your thoughts to wander and float until you drift into a light daydream. You find yourself standing at the bottom of a small hill. It is about an hour before dawn, and the moon is low on the horizon. But there is still enough light that you can see a trail that curves upward. You decide to walk up the hill to watch the sunrise. The night is very quiet. As you ascend, it takes about 15 minutes for you to walk the first part of the trail. Here you come to a small shrine that sits next to the trail. And there is one candle and a little note that says, "When you light me, your concerns will clear away." As you light the candle, something in your heart lifts and a soft bell rings. The sky becomes a little lighter with the first hint of dawn. Your step is easier now, and you continue along the trail for about another 15 minutes, and another shrine comes into view. There are two candles here, and a sign that says, "When you light us, your heart will lift even higher." As you light the candles, your heart lifts in love. Soft bells ring. The sky changes, turning red with early light. You almost float the next 15 minutes until you reach the third shrine. Here there are three candles. "Light us and you will rise to the heights of heaven." As you light the candle, your heart expands and fills with hope. Soft bells ring. The sky begins to turn pink and gold. And you walk the next quarter of an hour with a heart filled with love and hope. And as you come around and crest the hill, sunlight bursts into the sky. You and the sun have risen together. Glorious light plays across the sky. It streams into your center. Pure joy pulses through your body and soul. And bells ring. Take a moment now as the inner you rises and dances in this light, in this joy, in this risen sun, in the silence. The soft, gentle ringing of a bell brings you back to yourself. And as you rise from the silence, you express gratitude for the joy of the risen sun. Take another breath now as we return to our bodies and receive this blessing. Oh, my beloved, there is ever hope. There is ever joy. There is ever love. No matter the circumstances, you will rise. You will rise to the highest of heights because you are an eternal being made of love and light and joy. Remember this always.
Sunday. And I've been thinking as we've been going through this planetary experience of the coronavirus, I've been asking and talking to people that I know, some friends and acquaintances, family members, and wondering what's going on in their mind. What's in the forefront of their awareness when they look deeply within themselves? And what I've discovered is that many of them are asking themselves this question: how can I get through this? Or they may be asking the question, How do I come back from this setback that I'm going through with my life and my business? How am I going to protect myself? How am I going to protect my loved ones or my parents? How can I lessen the blow of this experience? And I believe that regardless of whatever specific action one decides to take, they all have to come from this fundamental truth for it to be effective. And it's found in John, the 4th chapter and the 4th verse. And it simply says, that which is within you is far more powerful than that which is in our world. And I believe that all successful answers depend upon that realization, that principle, that one truth. We have come here to rise and shine. Somewhere in your soul, in my soul, we know we took this incarnation. We came into this life. We knew that we were all loaded and coded with powerful destinies within us. We're all loaded and coded with infinite capacities. We're all loaded and coded with infinite potential. So somewhere our spirit made a pact with itself to come to the planet at this particular time to rise and shine, meaning we must lift our vibration. We must shine by sharing our gifts and our talents to the world. We know we'd be facing this at some point. We may have forgotten about it, but our spirit already knew. We knew that there would be a breakdown of the old paradigms in our world so something new can begin to emerge. Ultimately, I think we would remember that it's not what we're facing that is important. What is important is what is facing us. Something is facing a presence. Something is facing a power. Something is facing a love that is so indestructible to us. And we are here to rise up to that level so that our role on the planet Earth right now, right this time, is to lift ourselves into that frequency. You know, on Easter, I often refer to this scripture from Romans, the 8th chapter and 11th verse. And the Apostle Paul is saying something to the effect that if that spirit that dwelleth in Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus also dwelleth in you, you too shall be lifted up. You too shall be lifted up. But we do one thing about that scripture. We take the if off. Because that same power, that same presence that was in the master teacher Jesus Christ is in each and every one of us. That same power that's within any avatar that's walked upon the earth is also within each and every one of us. Today is Easter. And Easter represents a breakthrough in which we are freed from bondage. We're freed from all material limitation, freed from any kind of constriction of time and even space. And Easter, among other things, proves that consciousness is the cause. It is the maintainer. It is the sustainer of our lives and our world. So around this time of the year, we look at Jesus, the Christ, who gave us a blueprint on how we can do this. I say Jesus the Christ because we are aware that Jesus has no meaning for us unless he is an example of our possibilities. Jesus was the man in the story, but the Christ is a state of consciousness. It is something that we seek to attain, that he attained in his life like no other before or since. He realized his oneness with God. He realized with certainty that God was the only power that there is, and he yielded his life. He surrendered his life. He came under his government. He came under that awesome power. And this power took over the timbre, the light. It became the glow and the halo. It became a vibration within him. So we could say that when we saw him, we saw the presence of God being expressed through and as him. So his life has no meaning to us unless we look at him as that example of what we can do. He was an example of an individual who followed the rules of the universe, the principles of the universe, and became an exceptional individual. And he came calling through the ages to you and to me to be the highest and the best that we can possibly be. And I think it's particularly true in these intense times, in these interesting times, in these times of crises that we're going through, that we're facing. Because he reminded us, he said that all the things that I have done, you can do, and even greater things ye shall do. And so at such a time as this, it's important for us to do those greater things. This was his call through all eternity. This is the call to our spirit, to our soul. It's the call that we must heed. Today we're talking about to overcome the world. You know, in the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter, the 33rd verse, Jesus to have said, there'll be trials and tribulations in the world, but be of good cheer. I think he was the precursor to Bobby McFerrin, who said, don't worry, be happy. Be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. And we may be saying right now, well, really? Do you see what's going on? Have you watched the news? Do you see the challenge that we're facing individually and collectively in the world today? But he would say to us that he has lifted his vibration. He's lifted his vibration to such a degree that no matter how it may look at any given time in the moment, the charged thought forms of the world, the sense of separation from the presence of God, they have no influence over me, and they cannot have any influence over you if you do as I have done. So he's saying, be of good cheer, because if I've done it, so can you. And in my mind, I'm saying, easy for you to say. So we look at the master teacher's life, because he did show us ways. He did show us strategies and ways and methods to access a dimension of our being so that we may resurrect, that we may shine, that we may prove that anything that has happened to us, no matter what it was, no matter what it is, does not have the final word. It does not determine what we're capable of. And this is what he proved. So we looked at the story for clues. How did he access this eternal dimension? How do we spiritualize our life just as he did in his life? How do we activate our spiritual destiny? Well, if we look at them and we look at him and we ask the question, we ask, what did he do? I mean, really, what did he do? Well, we start with the realization that he prayed all the time. He stole away from the masses. He stole away from the multitudes. And he constantly kept his communion with the Spirit high. He did that as a way of life. And it was more than just him going into a cave and humming Om. It was more than that. It was a different kind of prayer that he engaged in. Although he did that as well, I'd imagine. You know, we have sung this song from time to time that says, our thoughts are prayers. And it says, our thoughts are prayers, and we are always praying. Our thoughts are prayers. Listen to what you're saying. Seek a higher consciousness. A way of peacefulness, and know that God is always there, and every thought becomes a prayer. I think the question we need to ask ourselves, what prayer thoughts are we holding during this time of crisis of this worldwide coronavirus pandemic that's taking place? You know, I've been doing these meditations Monday through Friday around noon, in which we come back to center, to break away from the lower vibrations of the world that is experiencing right now. And I often say, you know, the thing that we want to do on a regular basis is watch the thoughts that we hold and the story we tell about ourselves. We want to watch the story that we tell ourselves. You know, in these challenging times, which is challenging for many of us, we must realize that when we're in those quiet moments, when we're alone, and we see the facts of the situation, we see the facts of the moments, we see the reports coming through the news, we ask ourselves, what is the story I'm telling myself about the situation? Because oftentimes, the story we tell ourselves about the situation is far worse than what is going on at the moment. Now, it's not to diminish what's going on. It's intense. But we do not make up a story that makes it even worse, that makes us feel even worse, because it causes greater suffering. And this is one of the powers of meditation. One of the things that we can do, particularly when we have mindful meditation, awareness meditation, it helps us distinguish between the thoughts we have about a situation and the actual situation itself, because we often bring those two together. And note that we're always going to have thoughts. We can never suppress them. But thoughts do not have us. We can't stop them. That's impossible. But we can determine which thoughts we focus on. And the ones that we focus on give us power, or we empower those thoughts with prayer. Because that's what real prayer is. And the master teacher did this all of the time. But he did more than that. If we look at his life, he always had a vision for himself and for all of humanity. And he summed up this vision, I think, in what is our identity clause when he said, "Ye are the light. Ye are the light that lighteth up every man and woman that cometh into the world." When we live up to that vision, we can overcome anything that faces us. You know, I think about that modern day philosopher, he's passed on now, Rodney King. And he asked this question when all the commotion was going on in the riots so many years ago in Los Angeles. And he asked the question, can we all just get along? Similarly, John Lennon wrote in his book, in his song, Imagine all the people coming together as one. Now, the interesting thing about this coronavirus, it's caused us to find a common foe to unite all of humanity around. It's been said over the years that the only thing that's going to bring humanity together is that we have a common foe, like an alien will somehow show up, causing all of us to work together to support each other against a common foe, common enemy, or common adversary. For this common enemy has come in the form of coronavirus today. And as a result, we see many scientists working together where, as before, they may not have done so because they wanted to hold on to their own formulas that they thought would be beneficial to their careers. But now it seems like there's a cross-pollination of people working together. And this is happening in the scientific field. So there's a mass sense of unity that is spreading out the world. But that sense of unity is around a foe, is around an enemy, is around an adversary. But just coming together around a common enemy is not enough, because it'll just perpetuate a limited point of view, and it's not going to last. And I believe that Jesus was telling us that we need to move beyond that kind of life, having just a common enemy, but rather we must have a common vision, a common foe to a common intention. It begins obviously within ourselves. So we have to take this opportunity to participate in this vision together. You know, they say that, you know, for every crisis, it can mean danger, but also can mean opportunity. There's a great opportunity for us. If we understand the laws of life, we understand there's nothing wrong with life. Sometimes people think there's something wrong with life. We wake up with life and we treat life as if it's a problem to solve. But we must understand that life is beautiful. Life is perfect. Life is God. Life is beauty. Life is order and harmony and symmetry and abundance and harmonizing prosperity. Life is alive and everything is teeming with life. But there's something in the mind that thinks there's something wrong with life. When we begin to look at the challenges that come up in our life, and we say that life is a problem and we gotta solve it. But from a spiritual perspective, that is not true. There's nothing wrong with life at all. But what is wrong is perhaps our imagination. We have a misuse of our imagination, would probably be more accurate. You know, our mortal mind, our regular mind, sometimes has a morbid view of life. The collective mind of humanity has a misuse of the greatest faculty that it has, the creative imagination. There's nothing wrong with life. There are times something wrong with our imagination and how we use it. Now we have a collective opportunity of having this foe, this fear, this enemy, and we've come together to have this unified action. But oftentimes when we move away from that, we go back to the fear, the doubt, the worry, and not enoughness. But now is an opportunity to take this moment of global unity and participate at a higher level. This is why we're online right now. So we can take our imagination back and begin to imagine, begin to vision, begin to see the possibility of people coming together and now working together and seeing an entire globe working together on behalf of the humanity that is on the planet. On behalf of right useness, or what we call righteousness, that's what that is, right use of our law. And that means to be on behalf of love and joy and wisdom and harmony of all being met by these qualities. And I think we've all been invited into this global process because our participation is necessary. This challenge, this crisis, our human persecution, our human crucifixion, so to speak, is pushing us to participate into something higher, to bring out that something within us that is more powerful than what we are facing in the world. So we ask ourselves, you know, what does that mean that we can do right now based upon what's going on at the moment? Well, first of all, we want to look at the saturation of information around the virus itself and realize that there is no new news. I have to tell myself, stop watching it. Once a day, maybe twice a day, that's it. Because what I realize is that if we watch anything longer than that, we're going to get into a frequency of fear in our system. And plus, a lot of it, what we see is not accurate at all. Listen to the scientists, yes, the politicians, not so much. And if we're going to get initiated into fear, doubt, worry, remember that that is the greatest virus that there is, the virus of fear. It can be stronger than the coronavirus. It can be something that causes more anxiety, more stress, more reduction of immunity, more deaths even than the virus itself. So this is what we do. We look at the news early in the day. We get any updates that we needed to know about from the day before. And then we may look at the news later in the afternoon, you know, before it gets too late. And remember this thing that the Buddha said, that all is mine. So in between the two times that you may check the news, you look at your mind, you look at your awareness, and you come into alignment with spiritual principle that you have come to know that is more powerful than any experience that we're going through. Because if at the end of the day, you've watched more news than you've watched your mind, you're in trouble. You're going down the line of doubt, fear, and worry. And you know more about nothing. Because everything is just repeated. It's a cycle. It's repeated and repeated and repeated. So this is what we must do. We get our updates. We take care of ourselves. We wash our hands. We put on our masks. Others are even doing creative masks these days with Easter bunnies on them. Anyway, we do everything that's appropriate during this particular time in our history. And we take our supplements, we take care of our body so we can handle whatever onslaught is happening at this particular moment. And then we come back to principle. A principle is not an opinion, it's a law. Just as the law of gravity is a law, it's not an opinion. We can have an opinion about gravity that it doesn't work, but if I get on the roof of my house and step off, it will definitely work because I'm going to fall all the way to the ground. There's a spiritual principle called unity or oneness, being at one with God. There's a law called the law of mind action, and it reminds us that thoughts, which are units of energy, they transmute themselves into perception, which becomes our experience. So on a regular basis, particularly now, when the global consciousness sometimes is filled with fear, the next thing we want to know is that, you know, yes, people are dying from the virus, but we want to make sure that we come back to spiritual principle. And what does that mean? We're saying things that life is the life of God. There is no separation from me and God. My life is hid in Christ in God. It's hid in the divine presence. And we're reminded that the Christ is not a person. It's a principle. The highest level of our potential with any human being, that is called the price, Christ. Because Jesus' name wasn't Jesus Christ, like that was his last name. But he was Jesus the Christ. They called him that. That was his title. Because he fulfilled his spiritual potential like no other before or since. So in the course of our day, we come back to principle. We might want to read a couple of books while we have this time to really reinforce what is real and to lessen the challenges that come from the lesser thought forms of our world. And when we begin to get back to what is real, what happens, we get gifted with the power of discernment. We'll be able to see through the belief system that comes through the TV. That belief system is the real BS. We'll be able to see through it. We see where we're being pulled by fear, doubt, and worry, or really what's not accurate. We'll be pulled to these away from the lower frequencies, and no longer running around acting crazy. Not that you're doing that. But they say there are a lot of people going out buying up all the toilet paper. And somebody asks, well, how come they're not buying toothpaste and soap? You know, I don't ever see a run on that. But as an aside, I realize why there's so much run on toilet paper. I didn't really think about this as being a topic on Easter. But anyway, what's happening is that more and more people are not going to their offices. They're not going to the places of business. They're not going to the schools anymore. So they've shifted all of their time to be at home. So they need more toilet paper at home than they needed at the office. In other words, it's just shifted over to being at home. So the mystery has been solved. We moved from commercial toilet paper use to residential toilet paper use. Okay, just thought I'd clear that up. Anyway, I digress. I think we want to stop on a regular basis. We want to look at ourselves and ask, am I immersed in the global consciousness of fear more than I'm immersed in the divine mind's love, divine mind's peace, divine mind's harmony? This is way more powerful than anything we can take and put into our body temple. It's a vibrational frequency. That's why Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I bring all others up into that same vibration. That's our calling. That's our destiny. That's the giftedness. That's the power within us. You'll be able to hear it. I'll be able to hear it within ourselves. Anything else is simply static on the line, perpetuated by a paradigm that's dying out. There's something dying out so something new can come through right now. So we don't want to get caught up in the noise of the destruction that's taking place, the breakdown that's taking place. We want to get caught up in a collective vision. We have to do our part. We have to participate and do it on a couple of levels. On one level I just described, we have to extract our attention from a regular basis from the lower thought forms, the lower vibrations, so we can expand our awareness, expand our consciousness into our unity with God and all the ramifications of that. And then secondly, we as a global beloved community have to capture a vision of possibility. Right now we're recoiling from the onslaught of COVID-19. We now need to move forward with a vision of possibility, not only for our individual lives, but for the life of the planet in which we live. You know, many years ago, you know, there was an earthquake and you know, the military forces were turned into forces of goodwill in this particular community. They were distributing food and taking care of people, healing people. And I realized if that can happen one time in an emergency, that was a precursor to the possibility of that being the new way of life. If enough people could hold that vision, then there was a possibility of our armed forces or our adversaries in our life, all of that could be turned into instruments of goodwill to support one another. This is the possibility for our world, because we're all connected now. The virus has brought everybody together towards a common foe, yes. But we need to use this opportunity to speak about vision. Use this opportunity to speak about possibility. And just as the doctors now working together, what about all of us working together? What about dissolving the borders? We're not talking about political borders, but the borders within our minds and hearts and our souls, and the borders between ourselves and others. There is a collective initiative, a collective action that's moving us into a higher frequency of life. Anyway, I know that we don't have to wait to feel that frequency. We don't have to wait to feel that future. We don't have to wait to feel that vision. Instead of waiting to be grateful for a future event to take place, we can give thanks right now. And even before we see it in the physical manifestation, we give thanks right now. And then what happens? We've overcome the world. We pulled away from the circumstances and we've drawn to our future self. We've drawn to our future self individually. We've drawn to our future self collectively as a planet, as a human family. Because that which is within us is far more powerful than that which is in our world. It is facing something that is far more powerful than what it is itself. And so I leave you with the realization that this is the truth. And it's the truth that liberates us and sets us free every single time. And when we rely on the truth, we resurrect and rise again and again and again and again. Peace and blessings to you, and happy Easter. Well, I want to thank you for being part of this special online Easter service that we presented this year. You know, as challenging as it is to deal with this COVID-19, I think one of the byproducts is that it's forced us to utilize our creativity muscle in order to adapt to this changing environment that we're going through right now, and to help us realize that nothing can stop an indomitable spirit that all of us have. Special thanks and shout out to our Spiritual Life Center staff, particularly our AV team, Ira, Cameron, who does the Wednesday service, Celia, Martin Roots Marketing, Paula, and helping putting this together, and all the things that happen behind the scenes in order for us to make this happen. Right now is an opportunity to help us continue to send out these messages, not only on Sundays, but also the different programs that we have throughout the week. Our community and our world is definitely in need of this now more than ever. So I'm going to invite you to support Spiritual Life Center with your donation and to simply give what you can, no matter what that may be, because it will make a difference and it is highly appreciated no matter what. It allows us to, like I said, to continue to provide the stir of spiritual nourishment during these times and even after these times end. So you can give by texting SLC Love to 44321. Text SLC Love to 44321. Or you can go to our website, slcworld.org, click the donate tab, and you can give other ways, including by mail. And with that, I invite you to join in and say our offertory blessing together. Divine love, as me, blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, and all that I circulate. Thank you, God.
Oh,
One heart,
one heart,
one mind,
one soul at a time.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center, transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.
One